Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Logical Soul Talk. My name is Michael Craig, and I'm your host for this weekly talk radio program that lets me interview some really interesting folks, the people I consider to be the best, brightest, and probably the most creative people in the world, at least ones I consider to be that way. Now, during this 30-minute program, I will focus mainly on some of the turning points in their lives, the people who influenced them the most, and the decisions they made that brought them to their success. You see, as a chiropractor for many years, I discovered that most people, including myself, have an underlying pattern of what I call hidden decisions that we made as small children or picked up from our parents, teachers, or even our ancestors. And these subconscious decisions form our reality and affect our motivation and our destiny. Consequently, these hidden decisions can either propel us to greatness or lead us to self-sabotage and failure. Now, quite by accident, many years ago, I discovered I could access and change these hidden decisions to allow amazing results to happen in my own and other people's lives. And you can get more information on this discovery and natural process at www.logicalsoul.com. I also host a monthly meetup group here in the Atlanta area that you can check out on the same website. And I have several other videos that are linked to that, passiontocashvideo.com. You can see a free video there on my number one tactic on how you can turn your passion into an abundance of cash or income. Now, my guests were selected simply because I found their lives and their stories interesting. They may be rich, famous, talented, or simply great human beings. All of them, however, possess something I find rare in an individual, and that is a passion or determination to do what they do. They have made some strong decisions earlier in their life that led them to their current successes or achievements. And my goal in interviewing them here is to probe a little bit and discover their pattern of life decisions. This will allow you as my listeners to maybe pick up some special nuggets that will add to your own motivation and nourish your own seeds of success. So listen to what they have to say. After about 10 or 15 minutes, I invite you to call in with your comments and your questions. Our phone number, if you're listening live, is area code 347-843-4544. That's 347-843-4544. If you're listening to this podcast afterwards, then obviously you can't call in, but we welcome you to call in anytime Tuesdays at 6 p.m. on this radio show. I'm here on the Pacific time, 3 p.m., and you can figure out where you are in between. Now, the guest on my show tonight, he just showed up, Brad King. Let me tell you a little bit about Brad. Interesting fellow. He's got his own radio show, expert in nutrition. He's actually a prolific writer. He's published 10 books, including international bestseller, Fat Wars. And let's see, the subtitle of that is 45 Days to Transform Your Body. And he's also written the award-winning Beer Belly Blues, What Every Aging Man and the Woman in His Life Need to Know. He's a radio personality in his own right. He's got his own radio show playing on the West Coast, I believe. It's called, what's the name of it here? Transforming Health with Brad King. He's on voiceamerica.com. He's been on dozens and dozens of radio and television programs. He's been in magazine and news articles throughout North America. He's been on the Today Show, Canada AM, Balance TV, McLean's Oxygen, The National Post, numerous others. He's head sports nutritionist for Athletes United, one of the world's most esteemed sports organizations, and he sits on the board of directors for a premier sports nutrition education center. He's a really dynamite fellow, and I've had the chance to speak with him on a couple of occasions. I've actually talked to him on his show. He talks nonstop about nutrition, obesity, longevity, and men's health. He has a reason to, and I'm going to let you tell you what that is. A little bit of background about Brad. He's got a really interesting story, and I just want to welcome you on the show, Brad. Can you hear me?
Hey, Michael, thanks so much for having me, and absolutely, I can hear you. Great introduction. I love what you do. I'm a big fan of yours, so absolutely, thank you so much for having me.
Well, the feeling's mutual, Brad. I appreciate you being on the show and sharing your story. Tell us a little bit about your story, because I know some of our listeners may not know what got you into this field of nutrition and how, first of all, just Tell me where it all got started. Where did you start getting interested in this and how it came about?
Well, where it really first started getting started was many, many years ago. I mean, I was literally a teenager, and for some reason, I don't know, I was actually heading to visit my sister in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and I was on the East Coast, and I remember being in an airport, and for some reason, you know, I was just wandering around, and it was one of those things where, you know, I think I was 16 at the time, and, you know, the airline have to get consent from my parents for me to travel alone and all that kind of stuff. And I remember wandering into this this bookstore, and I was, you know, looking at all the books, you know, all the books that normally a 16-year-old guy would be interested in, and I was always interested in science, and this book popped out at me, and it was called The Vitamin Bible by Earl Mendel, and you've probably heard of this, you probably read it yourself, and, you know, I was just fascinated by this, and I picked it up, and I started looking through it, and I was like, wow, you know, what are these vitamins? I really don't know that much about them. So I ended up purchasing the book, and I remember through the whole plane ride, it was about a five-hour plane ride to get to my destination. By the time I landed, I was just fascinated with this subject for whatever reason. I was just drawn to it. And I remember memorizing all these things about vitamins. I mean, many of the things I don't even remember to this day, to be honest with you. But, wow. You know, I could just recall all this incredible information about vitamins and vitamin deficiencies. And, you know, for lack of a better word, Michael, it was really a calling. That's the best way I could describe it. And I started studying nutrition in school, and I became a sports nutritionist. And it was just something that kind of, it led me in, you know, a different pathway. But I wanted to find out the elite of nutrition. You know, how do you take this science of nutrition and how do you apply it to help people better their lives? And at the time, I was fascinated with people that have a higher than normal metabolism, people that were kind of striving all the time for betterment, and those were athletes. So I worked with groups of athletes, and then, you know, I kind of got bored doing it. There wasn't a lot of money in it, but I was still very interested in the subject. And then something happened about 20 years ago where my mother became very sick, very, very quickly. I remember coming home to visit my family, and my father pulling me aside and saying to me, you know, you're about to see your mother. You haven't seen her in a few months, and I just want to prepare you. She's lost a lot of weight. And, you know, before I knew it, my mother came and, you know, pretty much jumped into my arms. We were very, very close, and she had lost like 30 pounds. She wasn't a big lady to begin with. Make a long story short, I brought her to the doctor and then to the hospital, and within that day I found out that she had 3 months to live. She had pancreatic cancer. She literally died 3 months to the day that she was diagnosed. And I was blown away. My whole world changed. I remember my father then became diagnosed with cancer himself, and he died 6 months to the day that my mother died. And here I was, a young guy, two siblings, lost both my parents to cancer, had lost grandparents to cancer, and I was faced with, you know, the big C within my life. And it led me in a completely different direction, went back to school, learned about, you know, genetics and predisposition to disease, and decided to take all of this newfound information, and instead of working with people who, you know, were already at the pinnacle of their success, these athletes, I decided to take that information and parlay it into people that could really benefit from it. And that's everyday people, Michael, and I haven't looked back.
Wow. That's quite a story, Brad. I can feel you, brother, because I had the same, very similar experience. Not that my parents died of cancer or anything. They did die, but a very similar thing where early age, I became interested in nutrition, basically eating right. As a 19-year-old, 19, 20-year-old, got into meditation and stuff like that, but that's another story. But the point is that, yeah, you can sort of tell. It's like you know your inclination when something sort of jumps out at you. And, you know, going into that bookstore and just seeing that book, I mean, you were just predisposed already to jump into that. I know you've been doing radio show and you've been doing interviews and been doing all that stuff. What is your main focus now as far as health and nutrition and things like that? What seems to be taking up most of your time these days?
lecturing, really. You know, I love speaking in front of people. I love bringing my message to the public. So I do a lot of public lectures. I'm the keynote speaker at a lot of health events, and I'm really starting to take the show on the road, so to speak, where I'm starting to do work with more of the Fortune 500 companies, you know, showing people how to really increase their bottom line by helping people be more productive by starting with themselves, how to be more healthy, and how to really take it from the inside out, because a lot of people really don't know that they're not performing at their maximum potential. And, you know, it's interesting, when I spoke at the beginning, when we were talking about, you know, my parents and the genetic predisposition to disease, I mean, I really got into nutritional research, when you think about it, for selfish reasons. I got into it because I didn't want to experience cancer, and I certainly didn't want my two sisters to experience cancer. So I learned everything I possibly could about our genes, because at that time, you know, when you go back 15, 20 years ago, and even to this day, you know, doctors in medical school are still taught that genes, our genetic codes, these blueprints that we've been given, really control absolutely everything. They literally control our destiny. And nothing could be further from the truth, Michael, because our genes are templates. That's all they are. We build these unique life experiences upon those templates, and we build our unique life experiences because of our environmental factors. That's not just where you choose to live. It's also what you choose to allow into your lives, also our lifestyle factors and our dietary factors. So just as you can say, hey, I've got a lot of disease in my family, we also have the ability to code for health, and that's what people really have to understand.
That's fascinating, because I know that you know, they've mapped out the human genome and all that and discovered, you know, we just don't have enough to be able to govern all this stuff that's going on in our lives. And so they've been visiting Lamarck. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He was back in the 1820s before Darwin came up with the idea that, yes, behavior does have something to do with heredity and passing things on and stuff like that.
Well, sure. So, you know, it's that whole nature versus nurture debate. And a lot of my research is in obesity because, let's face it, you look around you nowadays, three-quarters of the population suffer from what I call overfatness. You know, people laugh at that. Overfatness? What's that, Brad? Well, we're not overweight, because you need to differentiate where weight is coming from whenever you go on whatever ridiculous program you're on. And, you know, three-quarters of the population are on these ridiculous diet programs. You know, we call them fad diets for a reason, because they're short-term solutions to what we know is a lifelong problem. That problem's obesity. And we need to differentiate. Where do we want weight to come from when we go on a program? So I call these people over-fat. We're not overweight. Understand there's good weight on the body, and the only bad weight on the body is the accumulation of the excess fat that we accumulate in those 30 to 40 billion fat cells that live within our body. But it's all really about energy. You know, people talk about metabolism. You hear people saying, and women are notorious for this, oh, I might as well apply it directly to my hips. There's no point in even, you know, eating that food. I'm going to get fat just looking at it. Yes, a lot of people have lower than normal metabolism, but it's all about the body's ability to generate energy. And what we have to understand as people is we're the ones that educate our own bodies to store fat. If we educate our own bodies to store fat, we don't create energy. And we're taking energy from other tissues, such as muscle tissue, that we cannot afford to take from. And this is why so many people throughout North America suffer from a lack of energy. You know, they're sailing at half mast. They've been doing it for so long, they don't even remember what optimal health and vitality even feels like anymore, because this becomes their new reality. And how are you supposed to change your life for the better if you don't know something's wrong? And that's what I try to explain to people. Understand, get in touch with your feelings. You know, it's not about looking better. It may start out with, you know, the feeling of, I want to look better. I saw that model, or I saw Arnold Schwarzenegger, and I want to kind of be like that. But in the end, when people, you know, correct what I call is a dysfunctional metabolism, people always talk about how amazing they feel, not how good they look. That becomes secondary.
That's an important point. I've noticed when you speak, Brad, you've got really, really high energy, and I really appreciate that. The other person that I listened to about nutrition that had really high energy was Tony Robbins. It changed my life. I was listening to him going to driving in the car one time, and of course, being a chiropractor, I know it all, right? So I'm listening to this stuff, and he's saying, "Well, you got to drink the phytonutrients. You got to do this and get it." And of course, yeah, I'll do that. So I basically made a commitment to do it for 10 days, like he suggested. And I tell you, after that 10 days, I was just hyped up. I was like really, really cruising, and I was saying, "Well, why would I ever want to stop this?" So to this day, I still wander around, and I've got this green bottle with me that I take, and everybody always comments on it. But I tell you, it's really made a difference in my life, just getting the right nutrients going, and the energy is just really tops. And, of course, being in my mid or late 50s, it makes a difference. Of course, I am taking a few hormones on the side too, but right. I tell you, the green drink really makes a difference in getting the right nutrition in the body. Are you familiar with it? Speaking of cancer earlier, are you familiar with Suzanne Somers' book, Knockout?
Sure, I am. Yeah, Knockout. Absolutely. Great book, by the way.
Yeah, she really goes after the medical model as far as giving people an alternative. How are you with that, and how have you been approached, or are you even bothered by medical people at all, or what's the story with that?
Well, I'm not bothered about medical people, Michael. I think, there's good and bad in every profession. There's great chiropractors. There's chiropractors I've been to that, if I didn't know any better, I'd say, oh, geez, I'm never going to go see another chiropractor again.
Right.
Thank God I found a great chiropractor, because now I don't, I wouldn't want to be without a chiropractor. We all have stories. We have stories about accountants, bad accountants, good accountants. Doctors are no different. And when I say doctors, it's not to take away from what you do, because you are a doctor. I'm talking about the medical profession, the allopathic profession, which hasn't been around really for that long a period of time. And the only problem I have is when people are close-minded. When you speak to, certain medical doctors that aren't willing to think outside the box, they're not, and if they don't understand something, they're not willing to look it up for you. And, I often tell people, because people feel trapped by who they choose as their medical professional. And I say, do you hire your accountant? Do you hire, your insurance broker? Of course you do. Do you shop around? It's no different when it comes to the medical profession. If you're not happy, if you're not getting what you're after, if you're not getting the right answers, if you're finding that the doctor that you're dealing with is closed-minded, guess what? Hire a new one. It's as simple as that. And I think, when we understand how certain diseases like cancer are treated, let's cut it out, let's burn it, let's radiate it, let's give toxins to the body, and there's not even a way to specifically target the problem. The problem is the cells of the body that are cancerous, and they don't have a shutoff switch. They do not know when to die, when to commit suicide. The rest of the cells of the human body have the ability to take themselves out of existence when they're not serving the betterment of the body. So if the cells of your body aren't doing their job properly, guess what? They literally commit suicide in order to allow the other cells to go on and thrive. Cancer cells really don't have that shut-off switch. And what we do when we radiate the cells and we use toxins like chemotherapy, we have to understand that they don't selectively target the cancerous cells, they also target the healthy cells of the body, same as radiotherapy or radiation therapy. And this is where I have a problem. The problem is that, McGill University, one of the top medical schools in the world, and happens to be in Montreal, Canada, a group of oncologists were actually interviewed, this is going back a few years now, on whether they would, undergo chemotherapy or radiation therapy if themselves or someone in the family, their family that they loved, came down with cancer. And the great majority of these cancer specialists, these oncologists, actually said they would never undergo that type of therapy. And that tells me a lot. That's like saying, hey, Michael, would you go and see a chiropractor? And you saying, oh, there's no way I'd go and see a chiropractor, but hey, I do pretty well in the business. So if you don't believe in what you're selling, there's a problem. And I think we have to think outside the box, and we have to stop poisoning ourselves. And aside from the fact that we put ourselves in this place, for the most part, we're the ones responsible for becoming fat. We're the ones responsible for becoming dysfunctional or diseased. We may not realize it. We may do things unbeknownst to us because of whatever ignorance we can call it. But the point is, we have the ability to repair, replace, replenish. We did this very well when we were young. As a matter of fact, the definition of youth is the body's ability to repair and regenerate. The only way we age is we age on a biological level, not a chronological level. So when we're young, we turn over, we replace, we replenish almost 300 billion cells in a 24-hour period. We lose that ability as we get older. And if we can reverse some of that, which I have shown you can actually do, then that, in every sense of the word, is actually becoming young again.
Fascinating. Before we get lost here, Brad, what I want you to do is give your website, give a place where people can go to get more information about what you have to say, because it sounds like you've got a lot going on and a lot, some good programs there. So you want to give a plug here and let people know where they can find you?
Absolutely. There's a couple of websites. One is www.awakenyourbody.com. The other one is a book I wrote last year, which is an award winner. It's a bestseller. It's called Beer Belly Blues, Beer, B-E-E-R, beerbellyblues.com. And that's a book I wrote on male menopause. No man ever wants to hear those words.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, we've known about this since 1952. I call it Beer Belly Blues because it's synonymous with a bigger belly. The bigger a man's belly, by the way, the less of that male hormone testosterone that man produces. And if you don't believe me, just look at the medical literature, because the research shows conclusively that men that have a waist size of 40 inches or more typically produce 30% less of that testosterone than men that have a waist size of 37 inches or less. So that's the great majority of the male population, Michael.
I can tell you about that firsthand, unfortunately. But yeah, that's fascinating stuff. Now, if you were going to describe some general, and we're talking generalizations here. Of course, it's difficult to be generalized, but if you were to give someone, if they were committed, like say someone is on fire right now and they heard you speak and they say, you know, I just want to change my health, I want to change my life, what's the first thing I have to do? What's the second thing I have to do? What would you recommend to them?
Well, here's the thing. I've actually dedicated my life to putting together a system. So here's the thing. The majority of the population is already starting to suffer from this thing we call obesity. People are confused. They don't know how they got to the present state that they're in, and they certainly don't know how to navigate it. They don't know what to do. They keep stumbling on the same obstacles over and over again. And, you know, some great people told us that that's the definition of insanity, you know, and that's what diets are to me. It's insanity because we're never successful on those things. So
right.
I created something called the Losing Fat for Life System. And if anybody's interested in that, just go into the awakenyourbody.com, and when you join up my newsletter, just type in interested in losing fat for life, and I'll send you information on that. But I'll just give you a few quick pointers right now, Michael, which will make it very, very easy.
Great.
Number one, don't skip meals. It's one of the worst things people can do. We become notorious for skipping breakfast, having a lousy lunch, and then coming home being absolutely starved in the evening and having this massive meal right before we go to bed. Then what we do is we try to relax by watching television. You know, we watch these very stressful shows, and then we have all the lights on in the house, and then we try to go to bed. We don't sleep very well. We wake up, we have metabolic stimulants like coffee to wake ourselves up in the morning, and the whole cycle repeats itself. Here's a few things to understand. Balance your blood sugar. You do that by eating about 5 smaller meals a day. This has worked for thousands, and I'm literally talking about thousands of my clients that have come in, tried the Losing Fat for Life system. The biggest complaint on the system is people can't fit in all the food, because we have to understand we govern our metabolism by our blood sugar. If our blood sugar dips too low, which is what happens when people eat the typical North American way, you know, lousy breakfast or skipping breakfast, one of the worst things they can do, blood sugar dips down, comes high, people have excessive cravings, and people have no energy. The majority of people don't understand this, Michael, because they're feeding off of things like coffee to get themselves through the day. And when people take metabolic stimulants like caffeine, all they're doing is borrowing energy from their very own body by creating a lot of stress. So I talk about having 2 liquid protein shakes a day and then 3 solid meals, smaller meals during the day. And the protein I talk about is a very different kind of protein. It's called the high alpha whey protein. And the reason that's so important is because in mother's breast milk, the most important form of protein we could ever hope to introduce into our body, you have this beautiful ingredient called alpha-lactalbumin. I just call it alpha for short. 33% of mother's breast milk is this incredible component which contains nature's highest source of an amino acid called tryptophan. We become deficient in tryptophan when we get older, which is why we have insatiable cravings, which is why we become irritable, which is why we become depressed, and which is why, for a large part, we can't lose the body fat. Mm-hmm. So the high alpha whey protein has very high levels of natural tryptophan, delivers that tryptophan to the brain so people feel satiated, they feel balanced, they feel in better moods, and they're able to burn more fat more naturally throughout the day. That's a food. So eat every 2.5 to 3.5 hours, smaller meals, never let your blood sugar dip, never wait until you're hungry, and in the evening time, bring your stress levels down. If you don't have dimmers on the majority of the lights within your house, get them. Because we're governed by 24-hour cycles. We call these circadian rhythms, and those are the rhythms of nature. When the sun comes up in the morning, we are designed to create more energy because that sets in motion a proper hormonal response. In the evening time, when the sun sets, the body starts to produce different types of hormones and different types of chemicals. So we're designed to produce something called melatonin, which is secreted in the center of the brain from a gland called the pineal gland. Mm-hmm. We secrete that melatonin, which helps us regenerate and helps us get to sleep when it's dark. This is why when people have found themselves in a movie theater, even in the daytime, the lights go out, all of a sudden they find themselves yawning, the body's starting to produce some melatonin. It's a cue from nature. So dim the lights, make sure when you sleep in as dark an environment as possible. We are not supposed to be able to see our hand in front of our faces. The body will be able to relax, it will bring the stress hormone levels down, and the body will be much more apt to produce energy, but that energy will be coming from the fat cells, which is what you want it to do. So those are just a few very simple things people can do, but very, very effective things.
Great advice, Brad. Thank you for sharing that. We've just got a couple of minutes now. If you have a question, call in, area code 347-843-4544. We're going to have an outtake moment here shortly, which after the music, you'll be able to hear this on the podcast, and I can ask, if you have a question and you're there, you can ask Brad a question. If not, then we'll just chat for a little while and go. But if you're listening to this on the podcast, it does go longer than the music, so stay tuned. If you're listening live, then we've just got a minute here. If you want to call in and ask Brad a question. Meanwhile, Brad, I just want to thank you so much for joining because it's been tremendous. Even though I've heard a lot of this before, it's always good to refresh my memory because I hadn't thought about tryptophan in so long because I used to take it almost religiously, and I realized that it's such an important amino acid for sleep. And so I'm going to suggest that to my wife since she's been having trouble lately.
Yeah, and it's not just tryptophan. It's the way tryptophan occurs in the protein because then it becomes a functional food. It's a food that can do something very positive to the body. And that's what I love because there's 3 human clinical studies now on the alpha portion of whey protein, and that's exactly what we have in that high alpha whey protein. So it's really an amazing component.
Mm, that's good to know. That's such an important thing. What about phytonutrients? What about the ability to put phyto? Because I know that's really helped me. What's your take on that, and how do you recommend that?
Well, phytonutrients are really any nutrients that occur in the plant kingdom. And when you talk about phytonutrients, you know, the buzzword is really antioxidants because that's what phytonutrients do. In nature, these nutrients that occur naturally are produced by the plants are there to protect the plants against their environment, whatever that may be. You know, if it's extra radiation from the sun, that's what those nutrients do. If it's from bugs coming to eat the plants, that's what those nutrients do. So, you know, part of the aging of the human body is we get attacked. We get attacked every single one of our cells almost 10,000 times a day, and that's
hold
what
that
those phytonutrients
do. Hold that thought, Brad. We're about to head out. Next week, our guest is Cheryl Scales, who's also a personality coach with us. Michael Fred, glad to be here. Brad, we're back with Brad King, and sorry about that, Brad. I got to listening to you so closely, I just forgot the time, and I looked up and I said, oh, my God.
I get a little carried away sometimes, Michael.
Music's coming here, so.
That's
okay. That's okay.
Alive.
I asked that last question when I should have been wrapping up, but at any rate, I appreciate you hanging on here. So finish that thought. You were talking about
phytonutrients. You know, they're just a very important class of natural chemicals that occur in the plant kingdom. And very simply, you know, people can go and they can buy phytonutrients in a health food store or in a pharmacy, but you're never going to get the synergy that occurs in nature. And you know, this is something I try to teach the public as much as possible. Because people get carried away. They don't understand the science behind it for the most part. They may hear something good about vitamin E or vitamin A, and they go out in droves and they purchase, you know, what they think is healthy. You know, hey, I'd like some vitamin A or some natural vitamin E. But these phytonutrients always occur in synergy in nature. I'll give you a little example. There are 600 different kinds of carotenoids that are found in nature, not just beta-carotene. Yet if you ask most people off the street, they would say, oh yeah, beta-carotene, that's a carotenoid, not understanding that in nature you need a full array of those. Vitamin E is another good example. In nature, if you were to eat something like a nut or a seed, you would get four different kinds of what's naturally occurring in vitamin E. You know, alpha, beta, gamma, delta. And these are under the class of phytonutrients called tocopherols. Yet if you go to a health food store or a pharmacy and ask for vitamin E, the majority of the time you're not going to have all four of those different isomers of vitamin E. So do your best to get as much of this nutrition from food as you possibly can. This is one of the major reasons you want to buy organic as often as possible, because you're not getting the pesticides, which are bringing in ridiculous amounts of toxins to the body and actually creating even more problems, but you're also getting a much higher nutritive profile because there's many more nutrients that are naturally occurring in the fruits and the vegetables that you're getting that are organically produced. So I would try to get them as much as possible from my foods, and then look to natural, green, whole food types of supplements like that, because you know that's a good way of getting an extra insurance policy, if you will.
Right. Well, I know that my wife is a good cook. We get organic just about all the time. She loves to go to the farmer's market like every other day. We've always got vegetables, fresh fruits and vegetables in the house and things like that. And I guess the juice, what I do is I just basically take my little green juice and I drink about 2 quarts of that a day. So and I do notice a difference, but I guess the whole point is that it's just a balanced approach. It's like, you can have supplements, that's fine, but make sure you eat the right foods to start off with, because it's really, like you said, a holistic thing, and you're not really sure what kind of synergies you're getting.
Yes.
When you're not doing it that way. Exactly.
Yeah, it's a guessing game for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, I've been putting supplements together for decades, and the thing is, you know, when you put these, you do the best you can with the science, but, you know, I'm not God. I can't play God. I just do the best I can, and this is why, you know, you're always going to get a much better concoction from something natural than you are from something man-made. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, I just munch on sprouts a lot. So.
You know, minerals are another good example, Michael, because we are highly deficient in minerals, and yet you can go into the majority of stores and buy these mineral concoctions, but we don't have a clue. I mean, really, what synergy of those minerals? Minerals are metals. That's what they are. We need to bind them to something natural and organic for them to be accepted in the body. And, you know, I want to give a shout-out to a natural product out there that I personally use and I think is fantastic, and it's called Leaf Source, LeafSource, and you can actually go in and look at what this incredible thing, because it contains 70 natural trace minerals in their natural forms, because it comes from an old prehistoric rainforest, and that's the type of nutrition that we should really look to be putting into our own body, because our body can recognize and extract that because it's natural.
You're talking about minerals. It reminds me of an old Saturday Night Live skit where the mother was feeding the kids breakfast, and it was called quarry cereal, and she'd pour a bunch of rocks into the bowl, and they'd be in there chewing them.
Well, you know, there is something to be said about that, because, you know, people are under this misperception that all the calcium supplements on the market are very healthy, and that's not true. I mean, calcium carbonate is almost like you might as well go outside and drag your tongue on a sidewalk.
Yeah, because chew up some seashells.
There you go. You know, you're getting a lot less calcium in a stalk of broccoli, but you're going to use all of that calcium. That's the difference.
Right. I found the calcium citrate, I guess, is probably the best or most assimilatable. My training on the matter. But
yeah, there's so many different forms. There's a bisglycinate form there. Now there's an aspartate form. So, yeah, citrate is definitely a much better form of calcium. But once again, you're never going to find anything as good as you would find in a natural compilation because, you know, when it comes to losing bone, I mean, so many women are worried about this condition of osteoporosis, and they go out and they take these calcium supplements, and calcium on its own does not stop bone loss, but the research shows calcium in conjunction with trace minerals. So if you are taking calcium, take it with a product like Leaf Source, because then the research shows that it's going to not only slow, it actually may stop bone loss and in some cases encourage new growth.
Now I have a question for you. I've been noticing, and this has been my own personal experience, and I've also became familiar with it through Tony Robbins and his friend Dr. David Wright, I believe, who did the research on it, that basically most people who eat a diet these days, or the standard American diet, SAD, tend to be very acid. And in an acid environment, we tend to lose energy.
Right.
And this energy is essentially tied into this acidity. And, of course, if we've got too much acid in our body, we're gonna have less energy and that type of thing. What about, and I know this is true in my case, because my main focus is not so much get the phytonutrients and that all when I do the green juice, but to basically alkalize my system. And I've noticed that the more alkaline foods that I eat, the less acid-based or acid-producing foods that I eat, I feel better and I just have more energy.
You know, the science behind the acid-alkaline balance, it's actually quite simple. When you really think about it, when you eat food, that food, when it's metabolized, it leaves along an ash that really can't be digested, so to speak. And that ash is minerals. That's what it is. So whenever you have the minerals that contain things like iron and phosphorus, those are going to be more acid-producing. That's why we hear about things like meats being very acid in the body, because they contain a lot more iron. And yet when you have more of the foods that leave along the ash of the calcium and the sodium and the magnesium and the potassium, those are alkaline-forming ashes, and that's why you find those primarily in the fruits and vegetables. So there is something to be said about that, but I really want people to understand the majority of the acid that's produced is actually produced by our very own bodies, and it's produced because of our ability not to be able to expel those acids because we're not able to breathe properly. You know, we have this incredible thing called our cardiorespiratory rate. Our heart has to be healthy. Yeah. Our lungs have to be healthy. And if we aren't able to expel a lot of that excess acid that builds up, and we expel that in the form of carbon dioxide, and we do that by breathing really deeply, and a lot of people don't do that well. So that's really how we control the majority of the acid-alkaline balance. And that's why exercise is so important, because it increases our cardiorespiratory rate.
increasing our lung capacity is so important. I do an exercise every day. Actually, any time that I'm sitting at a red light or doing anything, I just basically take an in, and I learned this from Tony Robbins again. He sort of reminded me of a lot of things, so I have to give him credit where credit is due. But essentially, just take a deep breath, breathe in for like 4 seconds, and hold it for like 16 seconds, and then expel it for like 8 seconds, and then you rest for 4 seconds and do the cycle again. I found that very powerful. It's sort of like yogic breathing, which I used to do. But what you say is right, and I noticed that after breathing this way for a short while, and anybody listening to the show can try that, it really changes you. It changes your thinking. It changes the way you feel. I just feel more energy. So,
well, it reduces,
so you're right.
It reduces the stress, Michael, and I think this is really where a lot of people go wrong. A lot of people are living with excessive levels of these very caustic stress hormones, one of them being called cortisol. And by the way, we have a lot of receptors, more receptors in the stomach area for this stress hormone called cortisol than any other area in the body, and this is why it's been linked directly to the most dangerous place you can store fat in the abdominal cavity. Mm-hmm. And that's the fat that predisposes us to what I call modern-day civilization disorders, cancer, heart disease, stroke. All of those are directly related to the amount of fat we carry in the abdominal cavity. But we create the stress within ourselves, and breathing helps to dissipate the stress, as does exercise, as does sleep, and we're not sleeping effectively. As a matter of fact, 3/4 of the population do not sleep well. Over half the population complains about daytime drowsiness. We know that 1/3 of children have sleep disorders. So we have a very big problem, and the problem is that we're increasing our stress throughout the day, but we're not dissipating that stress in the evening, so we can't get to sleep and we can't stay asleep long enough to repair and replenish the body. And, you know, perception equals reality when we talk about stress. So if you're someone that worries about things all the time, then you're really going to create a lot of stress. And Mark Twain had a phenomenal saying. He said, "I have been through some terrible things in my life, some of which actually happened."
Right.
So we bring upon this stress, but we don't get rid of the stress well enough, and stress is related to almost every single chronic condition we can now ever think about. So that's very important to get a hold on reality and realize, stop overreacting to everything within your life, especially the things that you can't change.
Right. And I found that in the work that I do, that essentially we have hidden decisions, or we have subconscious tendencies that sort of those buttons get pushed without our even knowing it half the time. So advise, you know, doing logical soul work, meditation, and obviously eating the right foods, drinking lots of water, taking the whey products that you're talking about. And go to Brad's website. What's that website again?
So awakenyourbody.com, and just type in Losing Fat for Life, and we'll send you information on that program.
Sounds great, Brad. Thank you so much for sharing your vast knowledge of the storehouse of wisdom with us, and I'd like to talk to you again about it.
Oh, Michael, it's been a pleasure. Once again, as I said, I'm a big fan of yours and what you do, and keep up your incredible work, and I would be I'd be honored to come back anytime.
Thank you, sir. Are you going to be in San Francisco for the event?
I will be in San Francisco for, I think you're talking about the Love and Money Summit?
Correct.
So you and I will get to meet in person.
That's correct.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Brad, it'll be a great time. Thank you so much for joining me, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you, Michael, and thank you for everyone that took the chance to listen. Thank you.
And have a great Thanksgiving, man.
You too.
All right, bye-bye.